Well, my grandmother on my mother's side, a beautiful woman whose name was Mabel, that tells you what generation she was in. Not many folks name their daughters Mabel anymore, but Mabel was a sweet woman. And I was so blessed for many years of my life. I only lived two blocks away. It was great just to be able to scoot over to Grandma's house and get those gigantic molasses cookies and whatever else she had made special and then made such a fuss over it. Said, oh, don't eat them now, you'll ruin your dinner. I ruined many dinners. And I thanked her for every one of them. I think she especially liked the fact that, you know, she was getting hugs and kisses for things that, you know, it was just awesome. Anyway, one of the outstanding, a woman of many characteristics, and without whose prayers, I acknowledge I would not be where I am today. It's a woman who was praying decades before this shell had any clue of what was going on and how God was going to use me. But one of the other interesting characteristics of my grandmother is she was always ready to go someplace. I don't ever remember a time when someone said, hey, Graham, you want to go to the store? Or you want to go to the mall? Or you want to go visiting? Or would you like to go to the park? Or would you like to go up the street? And you know what her answer always was? Just let me get my purse. Now, you know, that was part of who she was as well. But yeah, she was always ready to go. Never said stop and get a jacket or an umbrella or galosh, anything. But she said, just let me get my purse. She was a woman who was ready. Let's go. And as I read this scripture here this week, I began to think, wow, what an attitude that could be as a disciple. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you have whatever it is you need to be able to go? Or is there something holding you back? Are there things that are tying you to a position that won't allow you to move forward when that opportunity comes? Because we all know opportunity doesn't always knock. Well, I began thinking, as it says, Jesus is speaking. He says, don't be afraid, little flock. Actually, the Greek's a little more specific than that. What he's saying is, don't be afraid, you small little flock. It's a double diminutive. There's only a few people at this point. But don't be afraid. It doesn't matter the size of you, the number of you. I know that often flies in the face of what some of the church growth people would have us believe. So you've got to have big numbers. It's about the power of the Spirit working in you. Jesus changed the world with 12 people. Think of what we could do with the number we have here today. He says, don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, that's a powerful promise. I don't know if you probably listened right through that. I'm going to say it again a little bit slower. Don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The intention of God is not to be this harsh, judgmental sword that comes down through and judges. There is judgment, but his intention is that for his good pleasure, he's going to give you the kingdom. You have an inheritance already as believers. And we need to be careful that we don't allow that assurance to move us into some complacency, to move us in a place where we're thinking, well, we're better off than everybody else. It's true, we're saved by grace. But God loves all, not just those who have said, I'll follow you. His love was for you before you got to that point as well. And then he starts telling us what we have to do. Sell your possessions and give alms. Give to the poor. Now, in this day and age, that comes with some real shocking news. But I had a suspicion it came with shocking news anytime it was heard. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Now, it depends on how you hear this. You see, what he's saying is, the promise is, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So if you've already claimed the kingdom, if you already have gained the kingdom, what's the rest of this stuff about? Do you see? It's just stuff. We talked a little bit about that last week. And so what you're doing is accumulating stuff that is actually has every possibility of hindering you in fully embracing the kingdom that has already been given to you. He says, let go of those things. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not intending and I don't expect you to run out of here and sell everything you own literally and literally give everything away. Although for some of us, that would be a real freedom. And to truly trust in the one who's given us life, both for this moment and for every moment thereafter. I think I spoke this week or last week or maybe the week before. I've worked for some very rich people. And their number of dollars did not have any impact on the number of minutes they got to live, on the number of years they got to have with family, or the success of their family life. Had, in fact, from my understanding, it had actually a negative aspects to it. Jesus promises, don't be afraid. Your Father's intention is that you already have the kingdom. You will receive it. In fact, the Greek there is a past tense. It's already been received. It's already locked down. It's not something that you have to continue to work for. What you have to do is release and embrace it. And he says, make purses for yourself that don't wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes in to destroy or to steal. Still in this day and age, we have double locks, triple locks. We have locks that run on digital codes. We have all, there's a whole industry or multiple industries setting up on locks and how to protect that which we have because we're fearful that somebody could take what we have. We are not of the world. We have inherited the kingdom, everlasting life. It is entirely different. We are meant to be countercultural. We are not meant to be like everybody else. We'll look like them, but how we act, how we share, how we generously share what we have with others will make us distinct in a world that says, you must be out of your mind. How are you going to take care of yourself? Ah, Scripture tells us, even the birds of the field, even the flowers of the field are taken care of. We can't be so consumed with providing for ourselves that we walk by others who are in need. Make purses for yourselves that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. We know that this is true. Some of us may have hobbies that consume us. Some, and I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but sometimes it's good for us to meddle a little bit. Some people may have, you know, multiple sets of golf clubs or multiple sets of boat shoes or I don't know, whatever it is. And you end up having this all-consuming passion to accumulate something so that in case someday this ever happens, I'll be okay. We all knew what happened last week with the man who had the barns and he filled his barns. And he had such a good crop that he had to go buy, he was going to build more barns, and yet he never got to enjoy any of it. Don't let ourselves be undermined by the ways of the world. Let us keep to the attention of our master who says, it's my Father's intention that you inherit the entire kingdom. Why are you worried about these insignificant things? And then he goes on and says, now be ready, be ready, be prepared. Those of us that came up through scouting, that was part of our motto, right? Be prepared. Everybody here who's had first responders, police, fire, EMTs, how much practice does that take? Practice and practice. Teachers, how much you go over the lesson plans, right? You practice. Those of us that went through school, how many times you do the multiplication tables? Over and over and over and over and over again. Why? So that when someone asks you what 2 + 2 is, you could say, oh, it's 4. You could sit there and figure it out, you know, take the dominoes or whatever it is, or you could just know it because you've practiced it so much that when the time comes that the question is posed to you, you know what that answer is. Are we prepared? Are we living our Christian lives in such a way that we are prepared for those eventualities? Jesus said, it's going to be a surprise. When the master returns, no one's going to know. We've already lived through several individuals, well-known individuals who said, well, Jesus is coming back at this time in this place. And they went off and did what they thought was appropriate. And at that time and place came by, and guess what happened? Jesus didn't return. Because even Jesus said it was not for him to know. It was his Father's information. But we do know he's coming back. And it's important for us to be found doing the things he asked us to do while he was here. Taking care of the poor, watching out over those who were less fortunate, reaching out to the oppressed, loving mercy, doing justice, and walking humbly, assured that the kingdom is already ours by God's promise. Blessed are those whom the master finds alert when he comes. The reference here, of course, is for the bridegroom's feast. The groom would leave his home, go to the bride's home, and escort the bride back for the big feast. And while he's away, the servants in the groom's house have to be ready because they don't want to be caught sleeping when the groom comes back through to have the party. So they're meant to have their clothes girded up and their lamps all trimmed and burning so that they're ready. They know that at any moment, back through that door will come the groom. They don't want to be the ones that are found asleep in the corner. Jesus uses that to help us understand. It's going to be just like that. It's going to be a surprise. We don't know when Jesus is coming, and we've gotten far too complacent in saying, well, he didn't come back yesterday. You remember that, right? We're all here. He didn't come back yesterday. But a lot of us are thinking, he probably is not going to come back today. I'm suggesting that that's not the way we should think. He could come today. In fact, there's no reason to expect that he couldn't come today. It's entirely in the Father's will. So are we living lives? Are we doing the things that we would want Jesus to find us doing when he finally arrives here again? Or are we saying, well, we're going to play the odds. And we're going to say, he wasn't here yesterday. He wasn't here last week. Maybe he won't come this week. So I still have time to straighten my life out. I still have time to let go of those things that have held me back from really following a life of discipleship. You see how it compromises us? The first thing you know, we start to look more and more like the world around us instead of living as if the king is coming back. He's coming back, and it's going to be big. Are we ready? I pray we are. I pray that we're like all those who practice and practice and practice, knowing that one day their services are going to be needed, and they won't have time to practice then. They have to be awake, on guard, and ready to proceed. Blessed are those whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt, he will sit down and serve them, that he who is above all comes to serve, just as he did when he was on the earth. Are we awake? Are we ready? Or are we allowing ourselves to become numb with all the things that we place around us? Do we make it a priority to keep God first in our life? Is it the first thought as we rise from our bed? Is it the last thankful prayer as we close our eyes at night? Are we trying to walk in full relationship, or are we trying to have a long-distance relationship where every once in a while we check in and say, yeah, things are going pretty good down here, God. That's okay. I'll talk to you next week. Jesus said, it is my Father's good pleasure, and that promise leads us to freedom. It leads us away from the bondage of things and how complicated it can get and how mired in debt we can get trying to accumulate things rather than living in generosity and trying to find ways of sharing what we have with others who need it. Not just tossing it away, but using it. Remember, it's the management of the resources that speak to our character. It helps us become free from accumulation and move towards extravagant generosity. It helps us move from being all about us to being all about those around us. I don't recall in Scripture Jesus ever saying, I'm tired, send them away. It's been a long day. I can't talk to anybody more tonight. So my question for this week, what would we do? What could we do if we knew that we could not fail in the attempt? What would we be bold enough to try to do to extend the presence of Christ in this community if we knew we couldn't fail? Or if failing didn't matter, we'd have the freedom to say, we can go out and try this, and even if it fails, it'll be an extension of God's love. And we'll learn from the failure. I want us to start thinking about how can we move with watchfulness. Continue to serve, but realizing that when he comes, we want to be found doing things that he asks us to do. When he comes, we want to be awake and prepared. Maybe like somebody's grandmother said, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. Thank goodness we won't have to take our purses when the Lord returns. But if we're truly ready to go, what a joy it's going to be. Maybe this week we'll consider what we can do in our lives. How can I make a change so that I'm less held back and more free to move, more free to share, more free to love? That'll certainly make a difference. And if we take each one of these pieces of difference and share it into a world that's hurting, God's love is going to be known. And that's good news. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We accept the challenge that some of this is so countercultural and so counternatural to us in terms of common sense that we struggle with it. But we pray, Lord, that your truth has found its way into our hearts and to realize that each one of us, everyone here gathered, has some things that have been holding us back from living a life filled with your presence, filled with the power of your spirit, and with the generosity of your character. We pray, Lord, that we are able to trust and to move with intentional deliberateness toward the example you gave us. Help us to let go of the things that hinder our closer walk. Help us to identify those things. And then help us to willingly and with great joy recognize that it was your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness and your challenge that moved us there. Help us to share that love with those you place around us. That your kingdom is available and here for all. In the great and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.